broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. This is Matt Sorensen. So happy to be with you today. I'm feeling sprightly and vivacious today. If you couldn't tell, feel that in my voice, I'm letting you down, but I'm feeling that. So now you know.
Well, and I can see sprightly. You're a sprightly guy. There's a little hip in your hop, a little quick to your step. But vivacious, maybe your wife, and I mean that in the best of ways. But Matt Sorensen, vivacious, I don't know. Hey, I think you might be taking some liberties there.
Show. By the end of the show, you're going to be like, man, that was a vivacious Matt Sorensen today.
All right.
What are the words that describe you today, Mark? Give me two words.
Well, I'm feeling creative and strategic. Ooh. And it goes right with our topic today. I mean, sprightly, vivacious. I mean, you'll be the color commentary today. You'll keep it real. It's the NBA is in full swing right now. So it's kind of like I'll be calling the plays, you know. Yeah. You'll be like giving all those little really insightful comments, you know, the little insights.
I'm like the dumb former player that can't really carry the show, but they have him on because he was a celebrity at one day and he knows the players and yeah. Okay,
man, someone's offended somewhere.
Color commentator just got offended today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Sorry, Charles Barkley, sorry about that.
Sorry. Welcome everybody for being here today. Now, of course, we try to keep tax and legal topics fun and lively. We've got some really good tax and legal tips to begin the show. And of course, the topic, which you've already seen there in your iTunes or Stitcher description there, of course, we are talking about moving your state tax residency, moving your domicile, moving the state you live in to save taxes, all the above. We're going to break it down. And I'm excited about the show because I know, Matt, you've got some insights that, frankly, I'm interested to hear what you say. I know you've written some articles on this. I got something to share. I want to wow you.
I'm looking forward to it too. I mean, Mark and I can learn from each other sometimes, and there's some nuance to this, as you'll see. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to move to Nevada or Florida, right? There's some things to think about here, and we'll go through that. But we want you to be strategic about it, you know. And everybody's situation's unique. Where you're living now, where you're going, what type of – are you asset heavy? Are you income heavy? Is your money all in a retirement account? There's different taxation rules in the states. We're going to try and break it down, at least let you know what to be thinking about if you are considering moving. Because, you know, maybe you don't move to a dive – place in Nevada. I don't know.
Jeez,
sorry for all those listeners in Nevada.
Is there anyone else you want to offend today? You just took out the whole state of Nevada. Jeez.
I can't really say why I don't love Nevada. I mean, of course, Vegas is great to visit, but I don't think I could live there. I'm just going to dig myself in a hole. this is not going good.
Yeah, I'll just stick to Ocean's 11.
Should I offend everyone in Florida too? Florida's not all it's cracked up to be, guys. It's really,
oh my gosh!
It's also a
terrible place. Our ratings are going through the floor. Okay, just chill out. All right, now, for those of you that are new listeners and have not already left because you've been offended, and you're not from the state of Nevada or do commentary on NBA channel, NBA Network, TNT, whatever. You could go to our website, refreshyourwealth.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter that's free every week, packed with deadlines and tips and blog articles and YouTube videos. And if we want to be your resource for tax and legal strategies. And please share any of those insightful strategies you might learn from our radio show, newsletter, blogs. We would appreciate it. So I've got a tip that's huge. And it deals with home ownership and the mortgage interest deduction. So 62%, Matt, of Americans own their home. And so this matters. This is a big deal. So let's play some guitar.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right, so here's the tip. Now, just as Matt Sorensen alluded to a moment ago, there was a big tax law change around Christmas time. Some of you thought it was Halloween and the Nightmare Before Christmas. Some of you thought it was Christmas. Tomato, tomato. But here's the point. There was a change in the mortgage interest deduction, which is also going to be a theme in the rest of our show today as we talk about state tax. Now, here's why. For many of you out there that itemize for your tax return. Now, some of you that are maybe new to filing taxes, you could be in that millennial group where you're just getting used to that whole tax filing process. You're taking the standard deduction. Well, once you buy a home, you pay some state tax, you give some money to your church or a charity, all of a sudden you're going to start itemizing. That's been the tried and true strategy for years. Well, in the GOP's effort to simplify the tax code and save people taxes, they increased the standard deduction and really went in and fiddled with the itemized deductions, dramatically screwed up the itemized deductions. So the medical expenses and the charitable deductions didn't change much, but the home mortgage interest changed, and also the state tax deduction, which is, again, a little precursor for our conversation coming up shortly. So the mortgage interest deduction, I want to make some of this is my tip, mortgage interest. Let me just summarize. It's really quite simple, but it's dramatic and it affects so many of you here on the show. First, if you own a rental property, your mortgage interest is still deductible. If you have a second mortgage on your rental property, the interest is still deductible. If you're investing in your business and you have interest on a credit card loan or a line of credit or an equity line on the commercial property for your business, the interest is still deductible. And there's no limits on that interest. So folks, just that's easy, easy schmeasy. Where the change is how much interest you can deduct on your personal residence if you itemize. So on your personal residence, here's a couple big changes. You can no longer write off the HELOC interest. So if you had a second mortgage, paid off a bunch of debt, or were using that HELOC for investment purposes, you cannot write off that interest any longer. Also, the interest is now limited to up to a $750,000 mortgage. Now, granted, many Americans don't have a $750,000 home, but they're out there and they're going after the wealthy, I guess, on this bill a little bit. And it's saying if you've got a mortgage bigger than $750,000, you can't write off the interest attributed to the mortgage over that amount. Now, there is a grandfather clause that if you had a mortgage before this tax bill of greater than $750,000, it's grandfathered up to $1 million. So you can write off the interest on up to $1 million. Now, the last factor I want to just throw into this is that it's on acquisition indebtedness. Now, some of you may be asking, well, Mark, I did a refi. Does that mean I can't? That's maybe be considered a HELOC in some sorts. And maybe there was some equity I drew out to pay off some credit card debt. The interest deduction is only on acquisition indebtedness. So that means you have to kind of dissect your mortgages on your home and go, how much of this related to the original purchase of my home? How much of this is a Caribbean cruise, paying off credit card debt, or for my kids' college? None of that interest is a write-off. It's only interest on acquisition indebtedness. The definition of the home is your primary residence as well. I'm just going to throw that kicker in. So you can't write off the interest on your RV, a second home. It has to be on your primary residence, acquisition indebtedness, yada, yada. So this is, again, going to limit the number of people that may itemize or very well limit your itemized deductions. I mean, you still may itemize, but it got reduced. So keep that in mind. Those are kind of some tips on the interest front. I've got some YouTube videos on that. I'm sure I'll continue to kick out as many blog articles. We got enough blog articles for a year now based on this new tax law, Matt. I mean,
I know.
We're looking for something to write on.
Yeah. Just peel open that 1,000-page bill. Well, you know, one thing they did is you can see with the mortgage interest deduction, They didn't make it easy. You know, they grandfathered stuff. They changed the new rule moving forward. They limited it. They capped it. They reduced it. It's just, you know, they didn't just do one thing. They had to like chop it up in five different ways and then spit it back out and say, all right, now here's how we do it. So, but that's
crazy.
That's how sausage is made, I guess.
Yeah. Now, and on that note, people, keep in mind that all of these changes Matt and I have talked about so far, I don't know about you, but all the personal tax law changes expire in 2025. The GOP said, yeah, we're going to do this until 2025, and then we'll let the new Congress deal with it. They can either reenact this stuff, they can change it, tweak it, just go back to 2017 rules and live with it. So we're going to be back here in just 7-8 years, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So
yeah. And you know, I hear they said, well, they did that for budgetary purposes, maybe, but the Republicans were driving this, and the Republicans did that. Why? So that you'd make sure they were back in office before 2025, and they'd have something to run on to say, you need us back there to extend these tax cuts, people. We need a reason for you to get out and vote for us again. So it's a little genius,
it's a nasty
on their
business.
Part. That's how they do it. They don't. Yep. You'd think Republicans would love permanent tax cuts. Nope. They like short-term ones, so you have to vote them back in to get it again.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. I talk to a lot of Democrats. We have – our firm serves both Democrats and Republicans, FYI. And we do not get into political issues here. We just tell you what the politics are dictating tax law-wise. But it is funny. I talk to a lot of Democrats that are saving some taxes right now, and they're like, oh, it's a love-hate. The other day, she's don't bring up Donald Trump, but – how much taxes am I going to save? And I'm like, yeah. It's pretty sweet. And they're like, oh, you know, so it's love hate. Okay. Now on the Matt, can I set the stage here?
Let's do it.
So let me give this transitionary point. So something I said in my tax tip is in the itemized deduction realm, state taxes as a deduction also got gutted. Now here's the old rule. The old rule was, hey, you give California 50 grand in taxes, or New York or Illinois, any of these state taxes that are off the chart, you can deduct those as an itemized deduction. So it saves you federal tax to live in one of these states where there's a heavy state tax. Well, now the new law says you can only deduct up to 10,000 of state tax, property tax, personal property tax. Oh my gosh, 10,000? I mean, you can just be an iron worker in Pennsylvania and you're going to hit 10 grand in state tax. I mean, seriously. And so this is hurting. I'm not thrilled about that piece. And so here's the deal, to set the stage, and then Matt, I'm going to throw it your way, is that a lot of clients have been calling us going, you know what? I've been on the bubble. You know, I'm not thrilled with the state I live in. And I think it's time to move to Nevada. Sorry, Matt Sorensen. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to move to Nevada, or I'm going to move to one of these non-state tax states, because not only am I going to save on state tax, but I'm going to save on federal, because I'm going to get killed on federal without this deduction. So, Matt,
yeah,
what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I love it. That is prompting a lot of people that change there to consider this even more than before. So let's break this down. We're going to hit this. I want to just give a little roadmap of how we're going to approach this. I think we're going to hit the income tax issue first. How do I move from one state to another to get the new state's income tax rules? Is that practical for me? We want to look at what type of business you are. Can you even move that way to generate income in that state? Let's hit that just from an income tax perspective. But we also want to touch on two other things that I think should be in the consideration here. And that is, where's your money? If you have a large retirement account, there are some states that have income tax but still exempt your retirement plan distribution, so they don't tax those. So if you're planning on living off your retirement account in retirement and moving to, let's say, Florida, you may not need to. There may be a state that unless you want the Florida and the beach and the great weather and the cheap real estate. But I guess there's other pros to that. But there are some states that have no income on retirement plan income. So I want to hit that. And then the last thing is, what state do you want to die in? Because there are 14 states left that have an estate tax exemption. So it's a state tax exemption. There's still 14 states left. The federal estate tax now is at $22 million for a married couple. It's pretty high, but there are states left that still tax your estate, even if it's $1 million or more. And so I want to hit those so you're considering that too. And what state do you want to die in if you're in your later years?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. This is actually a big topic. We'll see how long the show lasts as well. We appreciate everybody's patience as we try to dissect this. Now, I want to give Matt, we're just going to tag team each other, folks, and we'll kind of get through this. I wanted to throw this out. This weekend in the Wall Street Journal, one of their full spread articles on the weekend edition was on a family and how people are moving out of the city to work remotely to have more family time. They're calling it the family time effect or something. Gosh, I just walked across the room here to try to find that article and couldn't find it. But it was basically the point that many people are moving out of the city, working remotely for family time and a slower pace of life in the evenings and weekends. And I told my wife, I'm looking at, I'm a trendsetter. So, you know, many of you know that have followed our show for a while, know that I live in Idaho right now. We moved from sunny Southern California, the heart of OC and OC, you know, housewives. We were there. And there's pros and cons to living in a bigger urban area. And just 2 years ago, we moved to a little rural town in Idaho. I'm on Main Street in Main Street, USA, and saving a ton of money and getting back to the roots and families around us. We're helping out family, and we needed to move here for a variety of reasons. But guys, think big here. As we set the stage for this topic, this is starting to be a trend nationwide. People are trying to move to places where they can work remotely. And like Matt said a moment ago, does your business allow for this? That's going to be a big, huge, you know, big consideration. But it may not just be about state taxes. It may be about lifestyle, and that's okay. Some of you may have grown up in a small farm town, and now you live in the heart of downtown Chicago, and you're like, man, this is eating me alive, you know, and the taxes, and maybe I could make a change. Okay, and then the second point, let's list off the states.
Yeah.
Right now, as we focus on income state tax, here are the states that have no income tax: Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington State, Wyoming, New Hampshire, and Tennessee only tax your investment income, not your earned income. So those are the states. Some of those may have sounded attractive to you. I'm going to be in Seattle in a couple weeks. Those in the up in that area, you can look at our newsletter for some speaking events. But I love Seattle. Now, you're going to pay your dues living in the Seattle greater area. Many of you know that.
Yeah.
You may be saving on state tax, but buckle up. But still, I mean, that's a pretty interesting list. Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, very attractive to a lot of people. Lower cost of living, saving on state tax, beautiful people, great barbecue. Washington, Wyoming, New Hampshire, and Tennessee. Okay, so Matt, I'm going to just ask you, I'm talking too much here. Start us out here. So what are some things, if I want to move, let's just say, to Washington State. I want to move to Washington State. Yeah. I want to save on state tax. What are some things I have to do to get to make sure the IRS doesn't come and knock them?
All right. Well, now I'm not with the IRS. Who cares? But your former state, let's say you're in California,
oh, yeah, sure,
right?
Sorry. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Everybody's like, what the hell's Mark smoking?
The IRS is going to nail you whether you're in Washington or California.
Yeah. So I'm in Oregon. I'm going to jump the border. I'm going to go to Washington. And a lot of people did this. I actually clerked for the Oregon State Tax Court early on in my career, and I was sitting at the table at these cases where people are, you know, state line jumping from Oregon to Washington. So Matt, what are the criteria they're going to look at?
Well, the first thing you got to do is, I don't want to think about this. Not everyone can do this. We're assuming you can do this. All right. And we're talking about really moving. All right. I'm not talking about setting up a PO box or buying a second home in Washington and being there for a month. Okay. We're talking about you're really reestablishing your residence here. And now some people may have flexibility for this. Some people may be like, you know what? I'd like to keep a second home in Oregon, but I do want to establish a residence in Washington. I want to pay no income tax. I've got a lot of the income, you know, and I want to get outside of this income tax I'm paying in Oregon. Okay. What you're going to have to do is establish residence into Washington and do what you would do as a resident. You're going to register to vote in Washington. You're going to have a permanent address there. I guess you could rent, you know, you don't have to buy, you know, but you could rent. You're going to start getting all your mail there. You're going to get a driver's license there. Okay, you're going to start registering your vehicles there. You're doing the things you do when you move to another state. We're not just talking about getting an address there that you can now throw onto your tax returns and say, guys, I'm in Washington now. And you're actually making the move. Now, there's a time period here, too. You got, I think, 6 months at least in a day, establish that residency. And I think your first year, you might have a higher burden with some getting out of some states. But I think that's the first items to think about here in terms of moving, pulling
off. I like it. I'm going to add a couple points to that. I love Matt's list. I'm going to add gym membership, church membership, club membership. You've got to show that in schools where your kids are going to school, you got to register them to school. Mm-hmm. I always talk to these clients and sometimes I get the male counterpart on a phone call and they're like, oh man, I love this. I want to save money, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you talk to your wife about moving the kids out of school. Oh, I can't leave my kids in Oregon in school. No, you're moving. That's the point. Yeah. Oh, I was just going to get a condo up in Seattle and just, you know, commute or, you know, no. If anything, you're going to keep a condo in Oregon, like Matt said. Maybe you keep a second mm-hmm. place in Oregon, go back, visit the friends and the family. But you're going to literally register the kids to school for school in Washington. The other thing, Matt, is I do think a lot of people in that first year are going to file a part year non-resident tax return in Oregon in this mm-hmm. example. So if you move, you know, this time of year in May of 2018, you know, you might file 4 months of income in Oregon as a part year non-resident. And then the rest, and then in Washington, you don't even file a return. Mm-hmm. There's no return. So
yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah. Bam. Now, one other thing, this is funny. I had my wife was working at a convention of private plane owners. And it was funny because she was working
kind of
at a
rich
booth.
Crowd.
Yeah. She was working at a booth that was a fly-in, fly-out neighborhood. It basically had runways. And this was in Wyoming next to Jackson Hole. It had runways where you could taxi from the runway to your garage, which is an airplane hangar that's attached to your home. Yes, there are really places like this. And these are, of course, multi-million dollar properties. But the people who buy it are people that have tens, hundreds, billions of dollars. And why are they buying a home in Washington or in Wyoming? Because they're establishing residency there. And
that's right.
You know, of course, they fly around in planes and, you know, they travel the world and the country. But it's funny some of the things they talked about, some of the services they even provide there, like buying groceries. They will have a service that will go buy your local groceries for you so you can show that you're buying groceries locally. I mean, there's all these little things that just go into this that you want to show, no, I'm really here. I'm buying these things. I'm, you know, and but they have all these services that help you do that, I thought, which was hilarious. But it's because a lot of those people are trying to buy that home and establish residency in that state. So it is even a lot of the little things, even as Mark said, the gym membership and your church membership and those things all make a big difference.
Yep. Now let's get a little more technical on this point so that people, you know, think, oh, I have residency in Wyoming or Washington now and I'm golden. I'm not going to pay any tax on my income. Well, this is where we have to take that second look at what is your type of business? Because if you are going to maintain an office in Oregon and then go back a couple of days a week or one day a week and kind of hold things together and then go spend the rest of the week and work remotely in Washington, well, aren't you still earning income in Oregon? Does your business have some income in Oregon? It does. You got employees there, you got an office there, and you have to then allocate this pro rata share of your income to Oregon, and you may not be able to extract all that income out of Oregon into Washington because you have to it's called nexus. For the constitutional term is called nexus. You are touching Oregon, so you got to pay the taxes on the income you earn in Oregon. One last, I don't want to get too technical, Matt, I'm sorry, but and on that note, for those people that are maybe doing internet marketing, or you're going to say, oh, well, it's easy for me to just pick up my computer, move, or as a salesman, a traveling salesman, maybe you're working remotely anyway, but it's time to get out of California, move up to Washington, and I can move my business and keep no ties to California for my revenue, no office, no employees, blah, blah, blah. So you got to keep in mind that there are some strings attached when you have a type of business that's going to be operational.
Yeah. Love it. All right. Now, I got a good transitionary point here to talk about some other taxes. Anything else you want to say on income
tax?
Yeah,
I do. I want to say one more thing. This is for my RVers. We've got a lot of RV followers. I love to speak about RVs, and I love the Work Camper organization, Steve and Coop, teaching classes in Texas and all over for RV inspectors. And so for my RV crowd, keep in mind this. And some, guys, you'd be shocked. Some of you are like, RVers, Mark, what are you talking about? You'd be shocked how many people in this country say, you know what? I'm retired now. Let's sell the house, buy one of these Class A RVs. It's like a moving luxury hotel room. And we're going to travel around the country, and we're going to move our domicile to South Dakota. So now I don't pay any state income tax on my retirement, possibly. Matt's going to tell us. But I'm not going to pay any income state tax and state income tax. And then I'm living on the open road in my RV. So for my RVers out there, keep in mind that if you want to establish domicile in another state, you're selling your sticks and bricks. You're selling that home in that residence of Arizona, and you're going to sell it and buy the RV and go. If you keep your home and get in your RV and drive around, Arizona, there's a 90% chance they're going to grab you and suck all that income back into Arizona. So for my full-time RVers, you can play this game. For those of you that have a stick and bricks home and an RV on the side, we have some great strategies to write off the RV, but you're not going to be able to play games with the domicile. And that's the give and take. So we need to do a whole show on RVs, but RVers, you've kind of got to keep that in mind.
Like it.
Okay, Matt.
All right. Now I want to talk about dying. Because, see, here's why you've got to be strategic about this.
Okay.
And creative, introspective.
If we can all choose the time we're going to die. But go ahead, Matt. You just run with this. Feel free.
Washington, for example. Perfect example here. We talked about moving to Washington. Great, because there's no state income tax. But if you die there and you have an estate, the estate tax begins at $2 million and starts at 10%. That's pretty high, actually, for a state income tax. So while Washington may be a great state to build your wealth and income, it's not the best place to end or pass down your wealth and income. In fact, you'd be better off earning your income and in your powerful income years, earning that income in
Washington,
moving to California, which taxes income ridiculously, to die because they have no estate tax.
So, oh, Matt.
I'd
love this.
So that's why you got to be a little strategic about this. Now, there are some states.
Now Matt, let me add this because this is so funny. I have literally had lunch meetings with a client, several over the years. This is not a common strategy, so I can't say it's been thousands of consults, but I have had literally lunch with this client who had built his wealth in Washington, was now had an apartment, condo down in California. He had this beautiful young wife, whatever. I know that makes some of your stomachs turn for some of you. It's just like I was in Vegas the other day. I mean, this is – it's really nice. I love going to Vegas. I see so many fathers traveling with their daughters, and it's special. You know, and in fact, the other day my wife and I, we were at dinner at one of those resorts in Vegas, and I saw a grandfather with his granddaughter. I thought it was amazing. I know so they were a little touchy feely. I thought it was a little odd, but yeah,
maybe that's how it is in their family.
Maybe. So anyway, so this client of mine, we are literally at lunch in California talking about his land and his home and some of the assets he had in Washington. And he was saying, okay, now it's time to move me to California. How do I do it? And what's the time period? And da, 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 da. And Washington has their grubby little hands on that real estate. So for anybody living on Mercer Island and you just want to get rid of that oceanfront home, just call me. I'll take it off your hands. Just get, because I don't want you to pay the tax. You know, it's not fun.
Yeah. So that's your strategy. That was your strategy.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just saying that I'd been there, done that. You know, okay, actually had that meeting, and it was just when you said that example, I was like, dude, I just had flashbacks of this.
Yeah. See, this is, you want to think about this. But now I was going to say, Washington is a great state to build and earn income from a state income tax perspective, but it's not a great place to pass it on. Some states double up, like Nevada, Florida, where there's no income tax and there's no estate tax. So if you've built up a large estate and you want to pass it on, you're better off doing, you know, for both purposes, they're gaining the income and passing it on being
Steve
in a state like Florida.
Yep. Steve Wynn knows what he's doing. Yeah. Now, what about Texas? I want to ask you about Texas.
No estate tax in Texas either. Ooh, so that Texas also, you double up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, baby.
Dallas. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no, that was the A-team.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry for you 80s fans out there. I was going to try to hum. I used to be able to hum the Dallas theme. I could do Hawaii 5-0, but dun, 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 dun. But I could do the A-team, but I can't do Dallas right now. It's not coming to me.
Yeah. Well, here's on, what Matt, I just want to say. I think a lot of people think about their income tax first, and that's fine. But I want you to take a couple of steps back and think of it. Are you going to really reestablish residency, live there for the rest of your life, die there? Let's think about your estate tax. Also, I was just going to throw out one other point on your retirement plan income, and I have an article on this.
I love this.
Is there are actually, let me break this down for you. There are 36 states that have an exemption for retirement plan income if you were a federal or state or county public employee. There's 36 states that exempt distributions from your public retirement plan. 14 states that exempt distributions, or sorry, let me correct that. 10 states that have a full exclusion for distributions from your private company retirement plan, whether it was a pension, a 401k, most of them still exempted if it was a 401k rolled over to an IRA that you're then distributing. So,
hey, can you read those off? What are those 10? Now, we're going to tell people where to find this article, but what are these 10 states, right? I don't pay income tax on my retirement.
Here, like Pennsylvania would be one that excludes retirement plan distributions. Hawaii also excludes retirement plan distributions, even if it was from a rollover. Is that Hawaii 5-0 or what's that?
It is, baby. It is.
Okay. I mean, Magnum PI was Hawaii too, right? Can you do Magnum?
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I don't know. We do not want Mark Kohler singing on the show. But I am a Tom Selleck fan.
You need to get you like a kazoo or something.
I even watch Blue Bloods because I'm a Tom Selleck fan. And don't even get me started, you know.
Okay. Right.
Yes.
Now, here's the last thing. For IRAs, there are also states that exempt distributions for all retirement plans, including IRAs, whether they were a rollover from a 401k or not. A couple of states that on this are Illinois, for example, which is surprising. Illinois usually likes to tax everything, but they've at least got an exemption for your retirement plan distributions, which is great. Some states also will exempt a certain amount, like Maine will give you an exemption for up to $10,000. Of your retirement plan distributions, including IRAs. So go to my website, though, because this is very, as you can see, there's kind of those three different categories I mentioned. It's sdirahandbook.com, and it says avoiding state income tax on retirement plan distributions. I have a chart there that I link to from the National Conference of State Legislators that outlines all the states, so you can look up your specific state or a state you may be considering moving to. There you have it.
Copious amount of info. Now, if you get to, you can get to all our websites through refreshyourwealth.com. Also, kkoslawyers.com has our blog button at the top, and you can search for any of mine or Matt's articles through our law firm website. Mm-hmm. And I would say this too, we've got literally 6 tax attorneys now in our firm and helping clients around the country. And if any of you want to do an analysis, we do this on a regular basis. I know Devin across the hall, he was just doing one for, yep, you guessed it, Puerto Rico. Ooh. So we did, yeah, we had a client, and this is cool. We had a client in New York City that said, I'm thinking of New Jersey, Florida, or Puerto Rico. So we had 4 columns on our analysis. He was getting killed in New York, of course, right? Mm-hmm. He's just getting hosed in the boroughs. He was in Manhattan. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
Oh, it's like the worst S corporations don't even work in Manhattan. And then New Jersey, a little better. Get the S corp benefit, a little lower state tax rate, no 5 boroughs tax for those that live in the 5 boroughs. But then Florida, woo-wee. And then number 5 is Puerto Rico. Before we even finished the analysis, he had rented a condo in South Beach, Florida. He's like, I'm out of here. And he's like, if I can, yeah. And his girlfriend's like, where are you going? And she's like, I kind of like living in the city. He's like, well, we'll visit on the weekends, babe. But I mean, look at the numbers here. If you're making, and this is of course people that are making $300,000-$400,000 a year, you start doing the math on that. That 10% state tax rate, and you're not getting the deduction at the federal level anymore that you used to. So you know your federal tax is going to go up, and you're saving 10% on $400,000. That's $40,000. Do the math, right? Mm-hmm. $40,000. Do you think that $40,000 is going to pay for his South Beach condo? Absolutely. I mean, he just got his place paid for, and he's out of it. You know, he's out of New York. And do you think the rental rates are bad in South Beach? Try New York City. I mean, right. You know, you can rent a place even cheaper in South Beach than you can in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And just walk out the door, get a good Cuban sandwich.
Cubano, as they call it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sand in between your toes. Man, how would that be?
Yep. Sounds pretty great. Well, for those of you who have this lovely problem because you have to pay so much state income tax, this is a fun thing to plan around. I mean, it's life-changing, obviously, moving to a different state. And also, I've had some clients that over the years have had to build to this. You know, they have a business where they reside and they have to work to, you know, move it to another state, whether it's changing operations, getting other people involved in the state where they're at. And you may have to do an apportionment thing, as Mark said, if you still have ties back to that state that has a state income tax, and that's fine. File your non-resident income tax return to claim the portion of your income in that state and pay your share. But then over time, hopefully that goes down too. But this is, I think, an interesting thing to analyze and one that how you guys did it with that client is literally you want to just let's get down to the nuts and bolts of dollars and cents and compare and contrast them side by side.
Yeah. No. And it's funny you bring up the building your business to get to that point. Another example, I've got a client that was in Northern California, Sacramento area, and it's a 50-50 partnership. And he's actually been on our show, Matt. I may even ask him if he'll come back on the show. We haven't had him on for a year or two. Mm-hmm. And he's got a really cool business, and he can maybe share this. But he moved to Nevada, mm-hmm. to Reno, and he could drive back to Sacramento within 3 or 4 hours. I think that's what it is. I don't know. About 3 hours. So he could commute from Reno back to Sacramento as needed. His partner's like, "You're an idiot. I'm staying here in California. I love it here. I'm in wine country right outside Sacramento. I'm going to stay here." But the cool part was he was able to take his half of the business because of what he manages in the business and extract that out of California, which you can imagine is big savings. And he's now in Nevada. And this new tax law change isn't even going to affect him. And he's still staying on California state tax. So his partner has started to see the numbers and see the light, but still hasn't pulled the ripcord to get out of California. But that happens all the time. So he's got to, you know, there's some income going both states in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think this is one thing, you know, talk to your CPA, your accountant, if you want to get kind of a big picture analysis from us, and maybe we can help certainly you analyze this and look at the different states. So as I said, I think it's a fun thing to do, but it's also one you want to get down to the real detail as you compare and contrast and think about it from not just the income tax thing. That's just my last ploy I want to say here, but some of these other considerations like the estate tax and how you're going to pass on your wealth that you're doing so good to build now that you don't have to pay state income tax. Think about passing it on too.
Yeah, and lifestyle. I mean,
true. Yeah,
Who could forget lifestyle? I've got a Matt. You could tell us what your commute is there in Phoenix, Arizona. But I have a four. I get in my car in the morning, and my iPhone says your commute is going to be. Anybody have that little feature? Right, you get in your car, and your iPhone says your commute 4.5 minutes this morning. There was a little traffic. I wasn't happy about it, but I pulled around this tractor. That was, it's seed planting time. You know, one of my buddies, I call him, "How was your day?" He's like, "I was planting." I go, "What are you planting?" "Barley, potatoes." He goes, "You've been to Five Guys lately?" "Those are mine." You know, so anyway, that's where I'm living. But you know, for me, Mark Kohler moves at 110 miles an hour. For me at 5 o'clock to get outside my office and just get muddy.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for me. We need that in our lives. So find a balance, people.
Okay, and well, let me say this too. I want to say this is the last point because this is another thing.
We're having fun. Sorry.
It's not just the no income stat, no income tax states. You may have a state that you want to move to that's just a lower income tax state. So particularly if you're in a very high income tax state like California or New York or Illinois, you may be saying, all right, and we've had lots of this actually. California
Arizona.
Client coming to Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going from 13 to 14% down to 4%.
Yeah. Okay.
Or you may be thinking Illinois to Indiana or to Wisconsin. We've had a lot of clients in that. Mark's client that he mentioned here, New York, considering New Jersey. And so, you know, or even a little bit to Delaware. There's a lot of other, even just lower income tax states where it's the same analysis here. And sometimes just that low income tax state is just a better fit. It's the tax savings, but it's also a better fit lifestyle, business wise. So keep that in mind too.
Yeah, I love it, Matt. Well, I could hang out here all day with you, Matt. You're a good co-host.
Yeah, me too, and my friend.
Vivacious.
Give me one more shot at vivacious.
Okay, do you want to say anything else? I'll let you take us out, and you do your best. And I want to say thanks to everybody for listening. And Matt, take us out for the day.
All right. Well, thanks so much, everyone, for listening to today's show. I'm not going to – were you expecting like sexy voice or something? I don't know what vivacious is. But
yeah,
maybe I need to look up the definition of vivacious. But let me just say, my friends, thank you
for
being –
There you go. Put on your 1-900 voice. Give me your 1-900, your best you got.
No. this was recorded. This is going to be permanently available to ruin my life in the future.
You're such a good politician.
Yeah.
All right. So this is Matt Swordson taking you out.
Yeah. Sorry. All right. Well, thanks so much, though, for being with us and tolerating Mark and I's nonsense. Hope you learned something today. Remember, if you like the show, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. We still got the offer for a free book. You pick my book, The Self-Directed IRA Handbook, or Mark's latest book, The Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom. It comes signed to you. No shipping nonsense. We just send it to you free as a thank you. Please also share the show with others and sign up for the newsletter. We will see you again next week for another amazing hour.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.